Okay, we're going to talk about walking on water and walking over the impossible things this morning. Father, we just pray that you would take your word and breathe life into your words, Lord. I thank you so much for what you gave me and showed me this morning and did in me through it. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take that even higher and deeper and more powerfully into those who are listening. We just put it in your hands and thank you in the name of Jesus. This morning I started out, I woke up feeling like I don't have anything and I'm just tired, you know. So God, either you give me something or we're just going in and just say, let's just sit around and talk again. Well, as soon as I shut my eyes, I saw Jesus standing out on the water, way out off the shore. And his hands were reached out like inviting me, come on, you know, come on out here. And I'm standing in there on the safe beach, on the sand, and I realize that to go where he is and where he's calling me to go, I have to be able by faith to walk across some things that are impossible. Impossible to believe, impossible to do. So my question this morning is, what impossible thing is God calling you to do? What impossible thing is God wanting you to walk through and conquer? And I didn't even know that answer. I mean, I know a lot of things God wants me doing, but I didn't know what particular thing he was calling me out to this morning. I had no idea what that meant. But John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I like that because sometimes you hear somebody, they start talking and it's me, 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 this is what I do, this is how I do it, and it's like gospel according to you. You know how you live. There's my example. And it should be seeking the glory of him that sent me, and that's how we kind of know that somebody is really speaking from God. But he said, if you will do what he's calling you to do, then will you know of the doctrine. Doctrine in here doesn't actually mean list of laws. It means instructions. Revelation, clarity, and instruction. So God said, you can be aware of what I'm calling you to. I will give you revelation and I will give you instruction if you're willing before I tell you what it is. You got to be willing first and then I'll tell you. So that sounds real simple, and a lot of times we've said, okay, God, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. But we don't want to make it that simple this morning. In order to take the first step of faith, we're going to have to make some choices and get ready. Get ready to believe him. So Romans 8:7 tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So God is saying your mind, your carnal mind, your fleshly mind, your logic, your wisdom, your understanding, and your ability, what you're going to think about it when I tell you what I want you to do, is not even possible for you to understand it or believe it. It's not even possible for you to get it. It's not even possible. God says that it isn't even a natural reflex for the human mind to just quickly say, oh, sure, I can do that. I can do all things through Christ, whatever he calls us to do. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. So we need to pre-understand when God tells me what it is, I am not going to believe it immediately. I'm not going to think I can do it. I may not want to do it. I may not understand it. And all my logic and reasoning and arguments are probably going to come against me. And God said, be prepared for your mind to do that when I tell you what it is. Be prepared for that. Your first reaction, I don't believe it, or I can't do it, or I don't want to. So it's okay if that's your first reaction, as long as you're preset not to give in to that. You're not going to give in to that. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. God said, now you've got a mind that's completely carnal, argumentative, full of doubt and fear and disbelief. And though you're stuck in that body with that mind, you don't have to obey it. You don't have to give in to it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are belief systems, things that capture your mind right now. For instance, if you have a belief system that it is impossible to walk on water, when he tells you to do it, your belief system is going to fight that instruction. And it's going to say, I can't do it because gravity tells me when I step on water, I will sink. I mean, if God tells me right now, step out of my boat right onto the water, I'm going to sink. When I strongly believe that, more than I believe that he can help me walk on water, then I'm not going to be able to trust him and believe him, so I'm not going to get out of the boat. There's the joke about the three preachers that went fishing together, and they ran out of bait. So the Baptist preacher said, I'll go get some. Steps out of the boat, walks on water, comes back with bait. Pretty soon they run out of bait again. And the Catholic priest says, oh, my turn, I'll go get it. Steps out of the boat, walks on water, comes back with bait. So there's the last little guy down there, the independent. See, I'll pick on independents because that's us, you know, non-denom. And they say, well, it's your turn, brother, go get the bait. And he's like, oh, wow. They both did it, but I don't know, man. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm, you know, gravity. I'm going to... And he steps out of the boat, kerplunk, he goes down under the water. Climbs back up in the boat and he says, God, I believe, I believe. And he steps out again and under the water. Gets back up in the boat. The Catholic and the Baptist look at each other and said, should we tell him where the rocks are? See, God didn't tell him to walk on water. You can only do the impossible when God calls you to do it. And that's the place where we place our faith, is what he calls you to do. He will enable you to do it. Amen. He will give you the power, his power, to do the impossible only if he tells you to do it. So you have to preset in your mind, yes, I'm going to be obedient whether I like it or not. Yes, it is possible, not because I can understand it, but because God will do it if I know that he's calling me to do it. So you've got to get these thoughts straight before you make your decision. And he said, continuing in Romans, no, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, went down to verse 5 and said, casting down imaginations. Now, imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the imagination. Can you imagine when he calls you and he's out in the middle of the ocean and you're on the shore, and our imagination has to walk through, what is this going to look like if I do it? If he calls me to walk on water and come out there, what is that going to mean to my life? And we begin imagining what ifs. What if my wife won't go with me? What if he tells me to leave my home? What if I have to live in poverty? What if I have to leave my country and go live in a foreign land? What if a snake bites me and I don't like snakes? What if it's somewhere where there's scorpions? I don't like scorpions. We start the what ifs and imaginations that build up every fear we have, everything it could be that we hate. And we imagine. We have to cast down every imagination and just trust God. So before we decide we're going to answer the call, we have to decide no logic, no reasoning, no disobedience. I'm going to obey, and I'm just going to, every imagination that comes, I'm going to throw it away. Just throw it away. The what ifs don't matter. And bring every thought into obedience to Christ. I don't have to understand. I don't have to like it. I'm going to obey, because that's where his power is. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, there is nothing that takes us down except our thought life. That's where the devil's playground is. Addictions aren't hard to break once your thoughts are right. I was heavily addicted to smoking, as much as any drug addict is to heroin. I mean, it was like I had no discipline, and my thoughts were, if I want it really bad, I have to have it. You know, I just can't tell myself, no, it's too hard. But if you were suddenly on an island and there were no cigarettes, there was no alcohol, and there were no drugs, there's not even chocolate candy or fast food, there's nothing there but coconuts and bananas, you're not going to sit around debating whether or not you're going to give in. You don't sit around and struggle with whether or not you really need it, because it's not an option. Not an option, Harvey's favorite saying. Not an option. Once your mind really accepts not an option and you quit thinking about it, you've won. Things that capture your mind. So when we revenge all this disobedience by simply obeying God, obedience is the step into grace. As soon as we just say, I'm going to do whatever you want, grace is there. Power of God is there. Everything changes. So, simply put, I'm not going to listen to logic. I'm not going to listen to fear. I'm not going to listen to my likes and dislikes. I'm going to obey whatever He reveals, no matter what it means. I'm going to face my fears. I'm not going to argue. I'm going to make a decision. God, you're out there on the water and you're calling me. Is God on the water calling you? Well, you know what? He's not on the water calling everybody right now, because everybody didn't come today. But this is what He gave me for those who are listening today. So He's calling you to something. Something that's going to require walking on water. So we need to make that decision. Another thing in order to walk on water, let's look at Peter's experience in Matthew 14, starting in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out with fear. Sometimes when God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit, and there are evil spirits. So sometimes when God is calling us into something, we're going, I don't know if that's really Jesus. I don't know if that's really God. What if it's an evil spirit? It's exactly what His disciples said. They saw Jesus doing something impossible, so they assumed it was an evil spirit. Why would they assume an evil spirit had the power to do that, but Jesus didn't? Sometimes we accredit the devil with more power than God. The devil comes along with some big vision. A big vision comes along and we go, it must be the devil. Why couldn't it be God calling you to something crazy and impossible? So we need to make sure we know it is Jesus. We need to know that it is Jesus calling us. If we're going to step out in faith, once we know that we know that we know He's calling me to do this, then He's going to accomplish it. Because I couldn't, I can't, and I never have yet. But He will if He's calling me to it, because He can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You have to confirm that it's God, and you need to ask Him, is this really you, Jesus? And He will answer you if you have decided, once I know it's you, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to obey. So we need to find out for sure. Now the Bible says, I didn't look this one up, but if a son asks his father for a fish, would his father give him a snake? No. And if you're asking God for His spirit, will He give you a demon? If you have pre-decided, I am seeking you, God. I want you, God. I'm going to obey you, whatever it is. I trust you, and I'm coming to whatever you call me to. He's not going to stand a demon in front of you to deceive you. You have to believe, if your heart is seeking Him, you're going to find Him, that it is really Him. Peter said, Lord, if it is You, bid me to come unto You on the water. Now, if it's really You, God, I'm going to do it, and it can happen. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter took a step of faith. He stepped out of the boat. That was big faith, just to step out of the boat. And he started walking on water because he stepped out of his comfort zone into what God had for him and began to walk in it, and it worked until until he didn't like something. And he got scared. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. As soon as you begin walking in what God's calling you to do, the devil will attack. He'll try to scare you. He'll try to show you, this can't work. It's not going to happen. What do you think you're doing out here? Who do you think you are? You can't do it. And as soon as Peter looked at the circumstances, he sunk. Jesus, he called out, though. He didn't get back in the boat. He called out. He could have said, John, Matthew, pull me back in the boat. But he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus pulled him and rescued him. So there's times we fall in fear and confusion and we need to cry out, I'm still coming to you, but grab onto me and pull me out of this confusion. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be problems. There's going to be things that say everything that God has promised us that we saw happen. He promised it. He called us to it. He confirmed it. We have believed it. And then everything went against it to make it look like it could never be true. And you have to hold on to it through that testing time when it's hard to believe. I'm going to tell you a dream that I had last night that was really, really weird, because Harvey's a very faithful. I'm not jealous. I completely trust him. He doesn't flirt. If a woman even looked at him when he was younger, he'd start raving about how he loves his wife, you know. He's very careful. Very careful with his testimony. But last night I had a dream, and there was a beautiful young woman, really big pregnant. I mean, she was ready to birth, huge pregnant. But she wasn't married yet, and she wanted to marry a man. And she asked Harvey to marry them, and he was going to marry them. But before getting married, she came alone to Harvey. And she said, she got real close to him and said, bless my baby. Bless this baby first. Well, Harvey put his hands on her bare stomach. I'm standing there going, what the heck do you think you're doing, you know? And when he touched that baby within her, he was so drawn that he ended up kissing the woman. So he's passionately kissing the woman, and I pinched him to wake him up out of it. And he just looked at me like, what's wrong with you? You know, what's the problem? And he kissed her again. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. As soon as this wedding's over, I'm killing you. But he went ahead and married them. And then I realized there were a lot of other pregnant young women ready to birth, beautiful, young, firm skin. I'm standing over here, 63 years old, going, well, I can understand that's appealing to you. And he was like, but I love you. You know, what's your problem? He didn't even know he was doing anything wrong. And I was so confused when I woke up this morning. I said, God, I don't get it. I didn't watch any movies about adultery. Harvey hasn't done anything to bring this on. I don't feel like I'm jealous. Why would I dream such a stupid thing? God gave me the interpretation. He said, you are Harvey's prophet. He's an apostle. You're his prophet. You have carried the prophecy of the vision of what I'm doing in his life. And that prophecy has been so long that it's an old word. It's an old. When he first heard those prophecies, he was excited. They were just full of hope, and they called him to it. But now they're old, and they're not happening yet, and they don't seem to be alive. And you know, you're not pregnant. It's not ready to be birthed. It's not right there, and you don't have youth renewal yet. You know, you've grown old, and the prophecies have grown old, and they're not ready to birth. But God had promised me I will have youth renewal in the day of power. That means I'm physically going to get young again. So all of this was a spiritual parallel. But along comes something of God. It's young, it's alive, it's fresh, and it's going to be born real fast, real soon. And they invite Harvey to bless it. They invite Harvey to be a part of it. And he could have just married them. But when she said, touch this baby, and he touched what God was about to do, that's about to happen now, he got so excited and intimate with what God was going to do right now, he involved himself with it. And he couldn't pull back. And it was a warning. God is getting ready to birth things on this earth But they're not what he called Harvey to. They're not what he should be intimate with. He can't want to be a part of what God's about to birth. He has to wait for his own prophecies to mature and be birthed. So God was warning him, do not. You can marry things, you can send them out, but you can't touch them. You can't get intimate with them. You can't take on those visions and become part of them because they're not for you. It would be adultery against the prophecies that are coming for you, and you need to hang on to those and get excited about those and wait for your own prophecies. Now, that's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. We have to hang on to what God is calling us to and stay faithful to it until it does happen. I wasn't going to tell you that, so I lost my place in the notes. But it was very, very powerful warning for us. So, finding my place here. So Jesus is standing on the waters, calling us out to something. And what did he say to Peter? Because Peter fell in circumstances. He fell into circumstances and he sunk. And what Jesus said was, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you just believe me? And you would have kept walking on water. Now, I thought when Peter stepped out of the boat, that was a giant step of faith. Jesus called it a little faith. He said it only takes a little faith to take the first step. Only a little bit. But then you can't doubt, or doubt will take you out. So I saw many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few actually get to their call because they have little faith and they won't keep walking in it. So God calls and you get, yay, I'm called. God called me. He's going to do this in my life. And we take, maybe, some don't even get off the beach and go anywhere. Some may say, I'll take one step. And then they take one step and they quit. Maybe they take two or three and they quit. Maybe they quit somewhere before they even reach where Jesus is. Maybe they just quit. Because many are called, but few are chosen. You have to keep walking in your faith, believing what he said, no matter how long it is, no matter what it takes. You can't stop walking toward him and believing him. And he will give you a baby step, one baby step at a time. And the grace, when you obey the step, the power to take that step is there. Then he gives you another step. When you obey it, then the grace steps in. He may tell you to love your neighbor and you say, I can't do that. You can't do anything but by his power. But it's, how do I love my neighbor then? Oh, go take him a pie. I don't want to take him a pie. They'll talk to me and I don't want to be around them. Go take him a pie. Okay, you take him a pie and when you walk in their door, the love of God comes up in you and you don't. Your heart changes. He loves them through you. But if you don't take the pie, you never get to feel the love of God toward that person. So the steps are small, but we don't want to take them because of our carnal mind that wants to argue with every step. Justify all the reasons we can't. One step isn't enough. Two steps isn't enough. Baby stepping all the way until we walk right into what he's called us to. And there's a lot of preparation. So I saw myself back on the beach. I'm not going to go all the way through what mine is, but I do want to share that I saw myself on the beach again, and I said, what about me this morning? I know a lot of things you've called us to. I'm hanging on to them, but what about right now, this morning? What are you calling me to? Because I saw you in my vision and I was on the beach. So it's not just for who I'm talking to. What are you calling me to? I will step into it no matter what. And God said, I'm calling you into healing. I went, yay! Yay! I wanted that, you know? And he said, now take a step. Well, in the vision, I took a step thinking, you're going to be on water and just floating along now. I took a step in the water, but still with my foot on the sand. Another step in the water, still my foot on the sand. I start walking out in the water, and I'm walking on the bottom of the surface there. I'm not walking on top of water. And the water's getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, up to my waist, up to my shoulders. Finally, I knew one more step, and it would be over my head. See, he told me to do what I could do. What I could do was wade out there in the water until it got over my head. That I could do. He told me to do what I could do first. Baby steps. Yay, I'm going to be seeing all kinds of people get healed miraculously. I've been praying for that. I've been wanting that. Power of God is coming. What's the first step? Study it in Scripture. I studied it before. Study it again. I'm going to open it up this time. Study it in Scripture. First step, got one foot in there, still on the ground, and it means weeks, months, hours, study, 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 and I'll give you another step. Well, that's not exciting. I'm not seeing a miracle, but it's a step of obedience. And he'll open up Scripture because I take that step. I know that when the water's over my head is when I'm going to rise up and start walking on top of it. Because when that's when maybe, see now my imagination's going out there, but that's when maybe I'll see the power raising the dead or healing the sick, is when I get on top of the water, but I've got to take those initial steps to get to that point. What if I pray for somebody next week and they don't get healed? Am I going to get discouraged because it got all windy here and Emelina died or something? I don't get it, God. Emelina's one I wanted healed. I wouldn't understand that. Does it mean he changed the call? No. Does it mean that God isn't good? No. Does it mean I should get in confusion, discouragement, and anger because God disappointed me? No. It means I take another step. By faith, I take the next step. No matter what I see happening. When the hunters, Charles and Francis Hunter, were known for healing miracles in their services, Francis Hunter said, I didn't know what I was doing or how to do it, but I knew God told me to pray for people to get healed, and the first 100 people I prayed for did not get healed. But the 101st one did. She says, in fact, the first one I prayed for died. But I didn't quit doing it because he told me to do it. I just kept doing it. And then she ended up at a point where many that she prayed for did get healed. She was known for healing ministry. God wants you to take a step this morning. I think he wants you to come to a time and a place, maybe it's now, maybe it's later, where you can sit down and you can say, I want to see you out there in the water and me standing on the beach, and I want you to call me to come. And I will come. Tell me one step and I will take it. And I've decided to take every step until I walk into what you're calling me to. God, we just put this in your hands. I ask you to bring it to life inside of each one that hears it, that they will come to the beach and look for you on the waters. And that they, Lord, will prepare their mind and their heart to just lay down everything and believe you and not stop believing you when things are hard or tough, but to walk all the way into their call, what you've called them to do, where you've called them to be. I wanted to share one more little part, because in the healing, I don't even know if this is supposed to be part of it, but I'll throw it in for a freebie. And the thing about being able to heal people, God can't flow through us past our junk because he wants to get rid of the junk. And I already, as soon as he said study the word, I just flipped over, typed in heal, and started studying the word this morning. Okay, that's my first step. I'm taking it right now. I'm going to start studying. Show me what you got to say about it. And he did. He already opened up something. He took me to Miriam having leprosy because she spoke against her brother Moses. Now, she knew Moses well. She knew his sin nature. She was his sister. She probably knew all of his fleshly faults. And she and her brother rose up against Moses and said, who does he think he is? We know God as well as he does, and I think we ought to be leading. And God said, well, go get your staffs, and whosoever blooms is my chosen, positioned leader. And only Moses' staff bloomed. And Aaron and Miriam were cursed with leprosy immediately. Leprosy is ugly. It's really ugly. It eats away your flesh, and it makes you look putrid and sickening and repulsive. It's repulsive. And it's highly contagious, so nobody wants to touch you. And he said, she's got to be separated from everybody else because she's got a plague. An ugly, sickening, contagious plague. Well, that parallels sin and pride and rising up against God. Moses said, God, heal her now. And God said, if she had only spit in her father's face, you would have separated her for 7 days. So separate her for 7 days before I will heal her. Why didn't he immediately heal her? Because he wanted a deeper repentance in her that she would never do it again. It wasn't because he didn't love her and he was punishing her because you were bad, now you have to suffer for a while. No, the suffering had such a purpose to purify her so she would never do it again. She had to walk away from the pride of, I should be ruler, and sit out there saying, I am so ugly, I can't stand to look at myself. I don't want anyone else to look at me. Everybody can see how ugly I am. I am so ashamed. I am so putrid. I'm so repulsive in my sin. And incurable. And contagious. If I get near anybody else, I might contaminate them with my sin. And she was so humbled and broken by that ugliness of her sin. And she thought about what she did. I thought I was so good. Now look what I really am. She never did it again. When God healed her, restored her, she never did it again. It did not come back on her again. Neither the act of the sin nor the result of the leprosy. So sometimes in order for God to get us, we have to see something connected to our healing. That's the ugliness of sin. And in order for me to walk out into that call, I have to see the ugliness of sin that still deceives me. Everybody else sees it. And when I really see it, I go, oh, God, that's so ugly. And everybody else saw it in me, too. And I just want to go hide. You know, I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to see me. I don't even want to look in that mirror. And I don't ever want to do that thing again. That's the kind of repentance God's looking for in us. And when he gets it, then we will get healing. And it won't just be physical. It'll be inner healing. It'll be physical. It'll be spiritual. God's after the deeper healing in us today. Not the shallow stuff of just the flesh looks better. Give it to you again, God. Just burn that into us, especially me. Start with me in the name of Jesus. Amen.